Hello, Capital Region. This is the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM Troy and 98.9 FM Schenectady, broadcasting from the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy, New York. I'm your host, Alexis Goldsmith.
And hello, Alexis Goldsmith. How are you? And I'm your host, H. Bosch Jr. First up today, we have a new episode of the Triple E's with my good friend and the entrepreneur's entrepreneur, Allie B., the queen of soul food.
And then roaming labor correspondent Willie Terry sat down for an interview with Art Fleischner about the upcoming May Day celebration.
After that, part two of Chris Phelan's interview with Camden Ardor on being trans in the military.
And to wrap up the show, roaming labor correspondent Willie Terry is at it again. He takes us to Kingdom Ministries Easter Community Fellowship Dinner at Christ Church. But let's start the show off with some rapid-fire headlines.
Okay, the Phantom of the Opera is here. How about that? He's right outside, along with Elvis is in the building also. Inside the Proctor Theater, the highly anticipated production featuring a contemporary twist and full orchestra will be hosted in Schenectady until May.
Just for clarification, Elvis is not at Proctor's Theater, right? It's just the Phantom of the Opera.
Could have had me fooled.
But go see it. It is a national tour. And downtown Troy is getting a new look, which includes construction of new apartment buildings and a multi-level parking garage along River Street, north of the Green Island Bridge. The garage, which will also be the first stop heading north from downtown Troy on CDTA's new River Corridor Bus Rapid Transit route, that's a mouthful.
Say that five times fast.
Will replace the parking spaces that will be lost when the two five-story apartment buildings are constructed on the riverfront. The investments will be the next phase in what has been a long-term plan by First Columbia LLC to add more residential and commercial space and parking on River Street near the underpass of the Collar City Bridge. The parking garage, if approved by the City Planning Commission, would be built on a surface lot across the street from Headley Park Place, a former shirt factory turned office building.
Okay. Troy Flea, the popular riverfront flea market in downtown, announced on its Facebook page that it will be taking this year off due to scheduling conflicts and construction projects in Riverfront Park. The market organizers plan to reopen again next year.
Brothers Karthik and Guha Bala, the founders of Valen Studios in Troy, who made the popular Guitar Hero video game at their previous video game company, Vicarious Visions, are speaking Friday morning at an Albany conference. The brothers are keynote speakers at the E to the Third, or E Cubed, conference being held at the Sage Armory on New Scotland Avenue. The pair is scheduled to speak at 8:15 a.m.
Okay. For those of you just tuning in, you're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network, coming to you from the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy, New York.
To learn more about this program and how to support the Sanctuary for Independent Media, please, please, please visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. And if you have comments, suggestions, or fan mail, you can text us at 518-888-3004.
Okay. The opening Thursday, April 25th, my good friend and the entrepreneurs. All right. She was a guest on the Triple E segment, Empowerment Entrepreneurship, with Kizzy Wiem, the queen of soul food and owner of Allie B's Cozy Kitchen Soul Food in Clinton on Clinton Avenue in Albany, New York. She talks about her business expansion, future goals, and new products and services. She's also was my very first guest. And what should I say? I've done over 100 shows since then. She was a true blessing. She believed in me when maybe I didn't believe in myself. And I thank you. Hello again, everyone. This is H. Bosch Jr. with another segment of the Triple E's, Education, Empowerment, Entrepreneurship. Today's guest is my very first guest, Miss Allie B's of Allie B's
Cozy Kitchen.
All right. So let me dig right in. I got a few questions, and thank you so much for taking time out your busy schedule to let us come to your business and do the audio as well as the video. So let me ask some quick questions. How have you been since the last time I saw you?
I've been fantastic.
Great, great.
I'm truly blessed.
Okay, and highly favored.
And highly favored, and you know, God has been good. Ali B's has been open for 5 years. We made 5 years April 1st.
Wow.
And the community continues to support us. The Capital Region continues to support us. From, I would say from the mayor, from the congressman, Paul Tonko, the senators, everybody comes to Ali B's. Because right. We are the best.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And that's for a reason, because you've developed a product in a niche that people generally want, and they come from far and wide to come here. So
it
is
much appreciated. You're telling the truth. Yesterday we had two customers. One was from Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. The other was from Missouri. And they said that they looked us up online. Mm. And they had to stop here before they went to Massachusetts.
Okay.
So we're truly blessed that we're able to get other people mm-hmm. from other states mm-hmm. to look up a place to eat before they get here.
So tell me this. What's new and exciting? Yeah, what's new and exciting with the business?
Well, it is so much going on with Ali B's. We're working on a brunch.
Okay.
We are working with the community.
Okay.
And we're growing.
Mm-hmm.
Soon, Ali B's with the brunch is going to be comedy, it's going to be dancing, it's going to be basically live entertainment. And it's not just us that's a part of this brunch.
I understand it's several people. Yes. Yeah, diversity.
Beginning with H-Boss.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm...
H-Boss Jr., the hippest, hottest, baddest host in America, will be there.
Yes, you are. And that's why I contact you. Because I said, Boss, I'm doing this event, and I'm going to need you. What else is exciting about Ali B's is just making 5 years.
Oh, wow. You know, what a blessing.
So many people tell you that are other business owners that... it's hard to get to 5 years. And it has. It has not been an easy road, mm-hmm. but it has been a great road.
Well, speaking to that, then, what advice would you give someone coming behind you? And what, because I know you had some highs and lows, if you would educate or advise them on anything, what would you say some of the things that you could counsel them on to avoid?
Well, first thing I would tell someone, man or woman, I would say it's okay to cry sometimes
mm.
because being successful comes with bumps. So you have to say...
Growing pains.
Yes. And you have to say to yourself, you have to always be positive. And owning a restaurant, you must say to yourself and your staff that... And my staff is my family. So basically what I would say to my family is your customers are very important. Some people may come in your restaurant and not be so happy. Your job is to make them happy. Mm-hmm. When they leave Ali B's, they leave happy.
Mm-hmm.
I would also tell someone, you know, when you start in your business, there's no sleep. If you're sleeping, then something is wrong.
My father used to always say, money don't sleep, son. Why should you?
That's right. And I was born in Harlem, Manhattan, and the saying in Harlem is, no sleep, get money.
So as
long as you're not sleeping, you're getting money. And I will be honest with you. When I go home at night, I'm still working for Ali B's. And when I wake up in the morning... I'm still working for Ali B's, and I am not in the store. I'm at home. So whether I take a vacation trip, you know, and people may see me on Facebook, It may look like I'm vacationing, but I'm still doing caterings over the phone, taking care of business, checking out my emails. So basically, owning your own business is a great opportunity for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I will push everybody to own their own business, but I know it's not for everybody.
Absolutely, right? You got to be cut from a certain cloth.
Yes.
To work from, you know, sun up to sun down.
Yes.
And to really, really want it. And what I like about you is kind of like when I was in the moving and storage business, I always woke up every morning and told myself, if there was $200 out there, 100 had my name on it.
That's right.
Before I got out of bed, 100 had my name on it.
That's
and
right.
I believe you feel the same way.
And bringing up $100, I remember when I opened up Allie B's 5 years ago.
Come on now.
Before I opened Allie B's, I was a housekeeper making $8.50 an hour. I was on Section 8, and I was still getting food stamps.
Isn't that something? I hope everybody's listening to this.
Yes, and I can remember saying, all I need is to make $100 a day. $100 a day. This was 5 years ago.
And look how you've been blessed.
Yes, and it tickles me when I hear myself say, mm-hmm. all I need to make is $100 a day. Mm-hmm. Because if I made $100 today a day, I would be closed.
Absolutely.
Because it shows that, and the truth is, the more money you make, the more bills you accumulate. And the more money you make, it does change your life. Here go 5 years later. When I first started, my bills maybe was $1,200 a month. Here go 5 years later, my bills is like $7,000 a month.
So we can only imagine what you have to make to pay bills, live comfortable, you know,
yes.
and to continue to keep the doors open and providing as well as all the, what should I say, the philanthropy work you do, giving back, you know, and donating, you know, things to the community. That is just remarkable.
Well, I'm going to tell you, that is one of Allie B's favorite things to do.
Yes.
Is donate to the community. Mm-hmm. It gives me strength as a person, and is installed in me. You cannot become successful without taking care of your home. And my
too much is given, much is expected.
Yes, my home is my community.
So,
Auburn Hill, West End, South End. Just Albany in general.
I'm just going to say the whole 518 is your home.
Yes, the whole 518. From even down to Troy, mm-hmm. Cahos, yes. Schenectady. I have done events for Schenectady where the mayor was there. All the politicians from Schenectady was there. Troy. I'm grateful for you, Albany, Sage, St. Rose.
And coming soon, the Capital District Psychiatric Center, if I got anything to do with it.
Yes, the Department of Correctional. Mm-hmm. I must say this, our senators. Mm-hmm. Our senators support Allie B's in so many ways. I want to give a shout out to Senator James Sanders. Mm-hmm. And Paul Tonko,
okay.
The congressman. I want to, you know, I'm just so grateful that these high-up politicians can come to the hood.
And you blessed them. So let me, before I close out, I want to speak on a few more things. Tell me a little bit about the Henry Johnson Project and the land you purchased and your plans.
Okay. Well, I still have not purchased the land.
Okay.
I'm still
but
working.
The plans
are working. I'm still working with my engineer. Mm-hmm. Is a young gentleman named Trayvon Jackson.
Okay.
Trayvon Jackson, he is the engineer. He's doing all of the development for my ideas. So what I do is I tell him what I want, and he's working on it. He's doing a fantastic job. So I'm going to say within the next 2 weeks, Trayvon Jackson, the engineer, he will be giving me my platform so that I can give it to the city. And I'm truly excited. The project is moving kind of slow for me, but you know how God works.
Okay, and tell me a little bit about what that's going to be. I understand it's going to be outside mall, and your vision came from where you grew up as a little girl in Harlem. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, it is going to be an outdoor mall. And in Harlem, where I grew up, they have the African Market. And at the African Market, they sell goods all year round, even in the snow. And what I have noticed in Albany, or just in the capital region, period, there is not a market open when it's snowing. There's not a four-season market open in the capital region. And the people in the capital region loves to shop.
Absolutely.
So,
right here.
Right. So and not only do they love to shop, we have a lot of people in the capital region that want to own their own business.
And from what I understand, it's going to be multi-ethnic.
Yes.
Right. People from different walks of life.
Yes. People from Thailand, Burma, from Africa, like Nigeria.
Israel,
yes. The Middle East, China. You know, it is going to be, and not just people from other countries, people from right here in America. Mm-hmm. Auburn Hill has every nationality in Auburn.
Ain't that the truth?
And
a mosaic, yes, of melting pot of ethnicity.
Yes, we have a lot of people that come from refugee camps here, that they also want to start open their own businesses. So what this market is going to showcase is going to showcase Italy, Burma, Germany, all of these great places. When you drive up Henry Johnson to go home on 787, you're going to be able to see the flags. You're going to be able to hear music. You're going to see what we have to offer, because it's not really a change. Mm-hmm. It's just that we're actually showcasing what we have. And people look at Auburn Hill sometimes like it's crime, but crime is everywhere.
Exactly.
It's that sometimes the media just showcase certain areas more. Or maybe you just...
Well, it makes news. Right, it makes news. So,
yes.
So with that, I'm going to close out, but I want to say, tell everybody how they can reach you, because you got all these amazing places you now are located on, like Grubhub and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Mention those real quick.
We on Grubhub. We on Uber Eats. We on Milio's, DoorDash, Beyond Menu. And contact Allie B's at 518-729-3472. And we do every catering that you can think of. Just to let you know, Governor Cuomo had just invited us down in New York City to find out more about the media industry as far as HBO, Netflix, Warner Brothers. And I am so honored that Governor Cuomo was able to look at Allie B's that's downstairs in the basement in a family business, very small, and he chose us.
Well, that's because the remarkable job you did. And before I close out, I want to say thank you again. You believed in me.
And I want to say thank you, Governor Cuomo, for inviting us to your fantastic event. And thank you, HBOS, for stopping by today, for showing Allie B's so much kindness. Thank you for promoting us and being a great person and being that fantastic host that you are.
God bless you. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you're doing. And I thank you for what you continue to do. And I want to close out May 5th. Look for the location. It's going to be an awesome, awesome brunch from, I believe, 11 to 4 p.m. Entertainment, comedy, great food. If you leave there hungry, it's your own fault.
And you know it.
Yep. And the hippest, hottest, baddest host in America.
Boom.
Yep. HBOS Jr. will be there. Until next time, folks, it's about the triple E's. Education, empowerment, entrepreneurship. This is your boy HBOS Jr. Inez is Bosch's baby boy doing what I'm made to believe. God bless you. All right, right. Thank you so much, Kizzy Williams, owner of Allie B's Cozy Kitchen, right here in the Capital District, 353 Clinton Avenue, Albany, New York, for a phenomenal interview and also bringing us up to speed on all the other ventures that you now are starting to involve yourself in. By making a difference in the community.
And now roaming labor correspondent Willie Terry sat down with Art Fleischner to talk about the upcoming celebration of May Day.
Art Fleischner is a longtime union activist and worker, and he's the former president of the Troy Area Labor Council from 1985 to 95, right? And he's also a member and founder of the Solidarity Committee of the Capital District. He also was involved in the organizing of the Capital District Labor Day Parade, May Day, and the Martin Luther King Program. Now, he was a union organizer in CSEA and SEIU before he retired. Art now resides in Troy, where he continued his activism. How you doing, Art?
I'm doing great, Willie. Thanks.
All right, Art. May Day 2019. Well, Art, let's get started. You know, the first question that I'm going to ask you is, because the people need to know, is what is May Day?
Well, Willie, May Day is the original Labor Day celebration. It started in the United States, 1886, as a result of the fight for the eight-hour day. Mm-hmm. And when labor finally achieved that, they thought they would have a celebration, and they did with a parade. And since that time, there have been celebrations in the United States on May Day. Not as prominently as in much of the world, where May Day is a much bigger holiday. Mm-hmm. Because, as you know, in the United States, they created Labor Day, which was to diminish the influence of May Day, which had picked up some support among socialist and communist countries and revolutionary struggles. And the United States government wanted to diminish that effort. And so now we celebrate a holiday called Labor Day. And May Day is not an official holiday in the United States.
Yeah, thanks for answering that question about Labor Day and May Day, Art, because that's an interesting question that everybody, you know, would have liked to know. Now, Art, just give me a brief history of the May Day celebration in the Capital Region, because I know there have been a lot over the years.
Well, the Solidarity Committee of the Capital District just celebrated their 35th anniversary. We had started in 1983 in support of the Greyhound strike, and we stayed together ever since. Mm-hmm. And long about the late 90s, I think it was 1999, we decided on two more events. One was the Martin Luther King Day celebration, which we felt did not emphasize the struggle for workers that Martin Luther King had also endorsed, and for poor people, not simply civil rights for black citizens in the United States, but anti-war positions and labor positions and working positions and housing positions. In addition to that, we also decided to reintroduce in the Capital District a May Day celebration. And so in 1999, we had our first May Day celebration. I think that was a three-day weekend, actually, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, mm-hmm. in Troy. And over the 20 years that we've been celebrating, we've moved to Cohoes, we've been in Schenectady, we've done it in Albany, we've had one-day events and two-day events and three-day events, so we've been enjoying the last 20 years with a May Day celebration.
So, Art, why is it significant to commemorate May Day 2019 this year in light of the Trump era?
Well, it does seem that conditions for racial justice and social justice and anti-war positions are more significant than ever. But I don't want to say that. I think in different generations and different times, these situations have seemed quite dire. But I think there is a feeling that A struggle is needed for social justice. I think the women's marches right after Trump was elected was just a groundswell of support that anti-feminist activity was growing, and there needed to be some solidarity. And so that has continued over the last few years, and we want to enhance that.
All right, I got a lot of questions that I'd like to ask you, but I don't want to ask these questions yet because I really want you to lay out your plans for May Day celebration for 2019 before I get into any other questions, because I don't want that to get lost.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much, Willie. Well, the Solidarity Committee, again, initiated, and we have a volunteer committee. I've made up some Solidarity members, but also other members of the community through the Capital District. And this particular year, on Wednesday, May 1st, we hold a May Day celebration every year on May Day, no matter what day it is. We will begin in Townsend Park in Albany at 11:30 in the morning with a gathering. There'll be some very brief comments and remarks, and then we will have a hour and a half march through downtown Albany, stopping at five or six sites to highlight the labor history at those points. In addition to which, there will be a musical number performed, either with all the people together or a performer there, just as a fun type activity. And we will then end up at Tricentennial Park on Broadway, across from the old post office and the old train station, where we will have a free lunch and socialize and some entertainment. That should be about 1 o'clock. Then at 5 o'clock, we will regather at the Capital District Latinos, which is on 160 Central Avenue in Albany. It's about three or four blocks above the Social Justice Center. And at the Capital District Latinos, we will have free dinner. We will have free entertainment and a couple of speakers. There will be free tabling for people that want to bring some information. There's always an open mic for announcements. So it's more or less a fun celebration, which will take place in the afternoon and again in the evening.
So, Art, how could one get in touch with the May Day Committee if they want to do something at the dinner or speak or whatever? Do they just come?
Yes. There's no need for a reservation or anything like that. People just show up at Townsend Park or Tricentennial Park in the afternoon, or certainly come with their banners to march from Townsend Park to Tricentennial Park, or just show up at 5 o'clock or 5:30, whenever it's convenient for them, at the Capital District Latinos.
And just one quick, could you just tell us, what are those stops you're going to make? Was it just briefly, what's the significance of those stops?
Well, there'll be some, I'm not exactly sure of all the stops, but we will talk about the Verizon strike that we supported at the Greyhound bus station, the recent successful strike at the Hilton Hotel. There will, so those are two of the stops that I know about.
Okay. All right. Is there anything anything else you would like to say about it? You know, just to kind of let people know why it's so important to come out.
Well, it's a celebration of the struggle for workers' rights and social justice in the United States. This is one, we've done it for 20 years, but this is just one of hundreds of May Day celebrations that will be held across the United States and across the world. And so we're happy that there's been these celebrations in the past, as they say, for one, 2, or 3 days. But, you know, whatever people can do, that would be fun. If they can only come for a half hour and all, they're more than welcome to stop by. As a matter of fact, Willie, that you know that a few years ago we had the May Day celebration here at the Sanctuary.
Thanks, Art, for that information on May Day 2019. And audience, you heard the information about May Day 2019, so please come out May 1st.
Thank you, Willie Terry and Art Fleischner, for taking the time to come into the studio and record that piece.
For those of you just tuning in, I'm your host, H. Bosch Jr.
And I'm Alexis Goldsmith, and you're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM Troy and 98.9 FM Schenectady.
To learn more about the Hudson Mohawk Magazine program, to listen online, and to learn how to support the Sanctuary for Independent Media, check us out online at mediasanctuary.org. If you have comments, suggestions, or just a sour bone to pick, you can text us at 518-888-3004. Also, be sure to tune in 7 to 10 weeknights for an extraordinary jazz sanctuary, a wonderful celebration of all that is creative, dedicated to supporting jazz in the Hudson Mohawk region.
Next up, we have part two of Chris Phelan's interview with Camden Ador on his experience as a trans person in the military during recent policy changes.
Good evening. I'm Chris Phelan with the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, continuing our series on LGBTQ plus issues and resources. This is part two of an interview with Camden Ador, a transgender veteran of the U.S. Navy. He's also a visual artist working out of New York City and is speaking with us about his experience with the transgender policy in the U.S. Navy, or in the U.S. military, rather, and how it's affecting us today. So we left off last time. Right as Trump sent out his tweets in July 2017, essentially announcing that he intends to ban transgender persons from serving in the military. And we're going to pick off right there. So he said, quote, "The United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military." He followed this up with a memorandum that left the enforcement of this new announcement to Secretary of Defense Mattis and the Pentagon. So just to recap, after all the promised progress from the announcement in 2016 by Secretary of Defense Carter, what did Trump's tweets in 2017 mean for you and for the military and the progress that the queer community has made?
Yeah, so for me personally, I'm grateful that I was no longer in the military. However, that's not really where my head was at. My head was thinking about, you know, all of my friends who are transgender and who are in the military and who do want to make a career out of this. Because I think a lot of people, a lot of civilians don't think of military service as a career. Some do, but I think it's a little bit rare. I think more people think of it as you go in, you do your one term, and then you get out. But there are individuals who want to make it a career. They want to do the full 20 years. And I know many individuals who are transgender and feel that way. So for me, you know, it's just very frustrating to digress like this.
And I know for me personally, just being a part of the queer community, I kind of felt like it was just a huge blow. Like all of us just kind of had a punch in the gut when those tweets came out, because I guess we're quick to forget when, you know, things start changing for the positive just within a year. I think we all kind of were quick to forget just how, you know, this is almost as if Don't Ask, Don't Tell just immediately got reversed or got re-implemented. And it was just really devastating. And for Secretary of Defense Mattis, since 2017, he ordered a study to be done on how to comply with this new policy set up by Trump. And the conclusion of that study was in early 2018, which basically revised the implementation of the policy somewhat, saying that ultimately the people who will be disqualified are transgender persons who require or have undergone gender transition. So what this does is this allows those who were reported dysphoria in 2016 after the Secretary Defense Carter announcement to continue to be treated. And if they're diagnosed with dysphoria after the start of service, but, quote, do not require a gender change, are also allowed to serve. And if they are stable in their biological sex for 36 months, then they can serve. And lastly, the requirement is that they must serve in their biological sex, which means staying in the appropriate birthing areas and whatnot. There has been a lot of pushback for this policy. There's several injunctions that were placed by multiple different states, and there's actually two cases going through lower courts right now I think they're in the U.S. Court of Appeals of the Ninth District, challenging this policy, saying that it's going to violate their Fifth Amendment rights. Do you think policy as implemented by Mattis, or to be implemented by Mattis, is viable? Banning transgender persons who require a gender transition, but allowing people to identify as transgender as long as they don't have dysphoria or they don't require a gender change?
This policy is, it sounds exactly like something that a cisgender person would create for a transgender person. While not all trans people need to physically transition, and everyone transitions differently, I know some trans men who aren't on hormones but had top surgery and vice versa. So everyone feels differently about their transition. However, for me personally, and for a high majority of people that I know, hormone replacement therapy and gender confirmation surgery are so vital for us to continue through life and achieve the things that we want to achieve. I mean, just looking at my own life, I got out in June of 2016, as I said. I started hormones October of that year. And since I've been out and since I've been on hormones, my life has gotten exponentially better because I am less scared in public of people thinking that I'm a girl, or I rarely get misgendered anymore because I'm a lot more passable. And each time somebody misgenders you, that can really take a toll on,
absolutely,
you know, yourself. So the fact that he says that they must serve in their biological sex and they can, if diagnosed but don't require a gender change, then they can serve. While, again, not everybody requires a gender change, to me, this is just the most asinine policy I've ever heard. And it's just a way that a cisgender person can try and justify what they're doing to make it seem to other cis people, and especially the other cis people who really aren't aware of trans issues, those people probably assume that this is a good policy because they're so unaware. However, right, it's just so far from good. It's him trying to still stay on people's good sides almost. It's like I get that impression that by him saying this, he thinks that it's some sort of happy medium, but it's just so far from the truth.
Right. And this, and after the research that Secretary of Defense Mattis had to have done, and the Pentagon and the military as a whole, or Department of Defense as a whole, it almost seems like they have this policy that Trump wants to put in place. And they had to do this research to basically figure out how to make this legally feasible. And the outcome is this, where, like you said, it is kind of a cisgendered language being used to basically ride that line between, oh, we allow trans people to identify as transgender, they just can't have any gender dysphoria or require any kind of transition. And what that is essentially a de facto, like you said, not every transgender person requires to transition or experiences gender dysphoria necessarily, but it's essentially a de facto ban on transgender persons in the military, which is why we call it the transgender ban. And if nothing else, people are going to still feel that same persecution that you felt prior to 2016 with not having access to medical treatment, not being understood by your command and your peers, and not, you know, not given the tools so you could fully serve to your ability. And ultimately, you know, this is going to have an impact on retention and accession, I imagine, similar to your experience with getting out.
Absolutely.
What is the impact on military readiness with all of this?
Well, so what I will say, firstly, is when Obama was considering repealing this policy in 2016, he also had, a long study that was underwent. And this study was comprised of military leaders from all the different branches, Department of Defense leaders, as well as civilian and military practitioners and clinicians literally talking about, okay, what are the problems that we're going to run into, and when we do, how are we going to handle this, you know? And so there was this really long period of them figuring all of this out, and eventually they did repeal the policy, so that shows that they were able to come to some sort of conclusion that to make these types of things work. But sorry, to get back to your question about retention, for me personally, I don't know if I would have made it into a career. However, I did consider re-enlisting because I wasn't sure if it was time for me to get out. I wasn't sure if I was ready financially and everything like that. But I did know that there was no way that I was going to be going through another 4 years dealing with that and trying to figure it out. And I also believe that I was a good sailor. You know, I got EPs. I made E5 pretty fast, faster than normal. And I think I had everything that I needed to have if I did want to make a career out of it. But because of the way that things were handled in terms of my transition, I just knew that it wasn't going to happen. And it's crazy to me that there are people that are being put in this position of having to decide, do I want to literally give up my career, or do I want to be my authentic self? Mm. And that's just crazy to me.
Definitely. Last thing, I want to throw out some facts. A justification for all of this. Trump tweeted, the military, quote, cannot be burdened with the tremendous costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. The RAND did a study about how much it would be for healthcare spending. It says about $2.4 to $8.4 million for transgender healthcare spending. This would be a total of 0.13% increase in healthcare spending. Meanwhile, the military spends $84 million annually on erectile dysfunction medication, and they spend $41.6 million on Viagra alone, which is five times the cost of providing healthcare for the transgender. So this tremendous cost and burden is a total farce. This totals to 0.001% of the DoD annual budget. In other words, negligible, not tremendous. So Camden, that pretty much puts us right at time, but I wanted to give you opportunity to kind of say how can allies support? I know all of our listeners, like, this is a much bigger issue than, you know, how I can affect my daily life, but what would you say to them?
One thing that I've realized throughout my transition is not just allies, not just people who openly say that they're an ally, but people who aren't necessarily against trans people, but they don't understand it. It's usually because it's coming from a place of privilege. And so what I want to say is when somebody is coming from a place of privilege, because they don't understand the issues at an intrinsic level, they're less apt to want to, you know, actually fight for it. They may believe, like, oh, this is messed up, but it doesn't involve me, so I'll just stand on the sidelines. But when you actually educate yourself on transgender issues, when you actually understand a lot of the things that are going on, and you actually meet a transgender person and you really see from a firsthand experience, you know, what's happening, I've noticed 9 times out of 10, people's opinions change right away, almost. And they want to be more involved. They want to understand more because they recognize that they're coming from a place of privilege, and they recognize that there are many things that they don't understand and that they need to have explained to them by a trans person or by somebody who really is educated in this world. And so I say go out there and get educated on LGBTQ plus issues and identities in general, because if you want to be an ally, you have to be able to respond in a way that benefits our community when somebody is saying something negative.
Definitely. Thanks, Camden. So this wraps up the second part of our interview. You can listen to the full interview online at mediasanctuary.org. If you want to check out Camden and his work as a visual artist, you can go check out his Instagram at Camden_adore, which is A-D-O-R. Thanks so much, Camden. I hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
You too.
Thanks, Chris, for part two of your interview with Chris Adore.
Camden Adore.
Oh, Camden Adore. Yeah. Right. Camden Adore.
Chris okay. Phelan.
Chris Phelan.
Lots of C's around here. Mm-hmm. The Hudson Mohawk Network roaming labor correspondent Willie Terry is back at it again, and this time he's taking us to the Kingdom Ministries Easter Community Fellowship Dinner at Christ Church, located at 35 State Street in Troy. This community dinner is an annual event held in Troy that is supported by various religions, communities, business groups, and local politicians in Rensselaer County. In this segment, you will hear from Cantina Gamble, Tony and Billy Carter, who were participants in the organizing of this community meal.
This is Willie Terry, the Roman labor correspondent, and I'm here on Easter Sunday at the Christ of Church, which is located 35 State Street, Troy, New York, where they're having a Kingston Ministry Fellowship dinner for the community. Quite a crowd, really a big crowd. And for the dinner, they had a variety of fried chicken, baked ham, and other things. And I have, as one of my guests here, one of the cooks of that community meal today, which was a large crowd. Right? And your name is?
Cantina Gamble.
Oh, okay. Cantina, what goes into cooking a big meal like this?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I came in yesterday and I prepped the chicken. You know, it has to be cut and cleaned and seasoned because you want the seasonings to marinate in the chicken very well so it, you know, has the flavor and stuff. And then I did the stuffing today. I peeled and cut up the yams. What else did I do? I did make the macaroni and cheese this time, but we also had ham, and then I fried the chicken. So a lot goes into it. I had help, of course, today, but a lot goes into it because it's a large crowd, and you have to make sure that you're meeting all the dietary needs of the people.
Well, it was so many people here today. I'm wondering, did you have enough food?
Well, towards the end, we started to run low. We tried to, you know, spread things out, but you have to get people that really know how to serve and portion right. Like, a lot of people got huge portions, and some people came back for double portions, so then that's when we started running low on food.
Now, this is a community fellowship meal you said they have during other times. So what other times do they serve?
Thanksgiving and Christmas is when I started. My first one was Thanksgiving, and then I did Christmas, and then today for the Easter meal.
So how did you get involved with this?
Well, Billy goes to my mom's church, and I direct the choir there. And
what church is that?
Bethel Baptist Church. Okay. And I actually, he needed a chef, and I've been cooking since I was 9, and I'm going to Schenectady Community College, taking, you know, culinary courses. So I asked him, could I do it? And he said, yeah.
Well, I've seen a lot of people taking plates out today, so it must be good.
I hope so. I mean, it is. Oh, thank you. I try to, you know, like I said, make sure my food is seasoned right and that the people are satisfied, because that's what it's about, is making sure that you give back to the community, because you never know what somebody else is going through.
All right. Thank you, Katina.
Thank you.
And I guess you'll be cooking again soon, yep. Right?
Probably. Yep. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. All right, I have right now as my guest one of the helpers of the community fellowship meal, and his name is?
Tony.
Tony. Oh, okay, Tony. So what brought you into this process, Tony?
I've known Brother Billy for a long time, and he told me about it a few years ago that he wanted to do some outreach, especially on the holidays. And I told him I would stop by, and I stopped by the first time. I liked it. It went well. Gives you a good feeling. Sense of community, and I've been back ever since.
How long you been doing?
This is my fourth year now, and we do Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter.
And now, is this the largest that they ever had?
One of the largest, I would say. One of the largest. We've had a few large crowds. It depends. The weather and the availability of food, you know, people come in here and get a plate, and they'll go back out and tell somebody else, and somebody else is coming. So it all depends, but it's one of the largest crowds, yeah.
And so what feeling did you get from the people that you serve? Did you get that they appreciate it?
They appreciate it. It's nothing but a sense of gratitude you get from them. You'd be surprised to know how much people in the community that really need but just don't have the way or the means to ask. So, and this is a great way of promoting that, where you can just come in and get a plate, associate with the people in the community. You got high people in the community and low people in the community. We all mingle in one space. We had the councilwoman serving. We had a couple of other stakeholders in the community that came in and helped out. So, yeah, it's a good community feeling.
And you live in the Troy community?
Yes, I do. I live in Lansing.
And how long you been around?
I've been living here for 26 years.
Okay. So you think there are other things that need to be done?
Yeah, this could be bigger. We should do something in the summertime also. People eat in the summertime too, you know, maybe a fish fry or a corn roast or something, you know, but we should do more. There's definitely a need for more.
So is it about just getting people to feed people, or are you trying to get people to get involved in something?
We're trying to feed people and get people to get involved, because the more that's involved is the more to feed. You know, we have Meals on Wheels that we deliver to people that can't able to come in. We have meals that we send out to them also, so the more people involved, the more food is the more we feed.
Right. Well, so it was a nice day today. Anyway.
It was a wonderful day. Praise God.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
I'm here still at the Kingston Ministry Community Meal. And I have as one of the main organizers, Billy Carter. How you doing, Billy?
I'm very well, and I really appreciate you guys coming out and interviewing us. It's good to get the word out about what we're doing. How God is using us in this community, myself and other churches. We just appreciate you, the radio station, for taking time to come out and help us and talk to us about our meal. But we do, you know, as part of Kingdom Ministry, part of the NAACP, we do push candidates. Hopefully, just about getting the right people that care for the city, not just here for namesake or for partisan issues, people that care about everybody in Troy. There are people that have the mindset to try to help everybody rise together, and that's the people that we want to support.
Now, I know you just mentioned NAACP, and people should know that he's not only a member of the NAACP, he's an officer and one of the organizers of the to reestablish Detroit NAACP.
Along with you, Brother Willie.
Yeah, throw me in the mud.
Brother Willie was one of the key. Actually, it was just me, him, and a couple other people that in the first couple of meetings. But what a powerful NAACP we have right now. And by the way, our next meeting is August 25th, this Thursday coming up at the Historical Society. They're going to go over the history of the NAACP in Troy, which I think is an interesting thing.
And Billy, today there seemed to be quite a crowd there, huge crowd. You know, what do you think about that?
I think we ran out of food. I think that today was the biggest day we had, one of the biggest days, if not the biggest. So yeah, we served over 300 people today, and then more than that over at the Burns apartment, we sent out 52 meals over there, and probably some people we forgot about. Please forgive me, but we really did a lot, and we're very grateful for what we did do. So yeah, we're thankful for the help, and there goes some of our Korean ministers who also helped us. And it was a huge community, a religious business effort that got this off today. And next year I'll be asking for more money, because we ran out of food today, but it was great.
Yeah, but that was one of the questions I really wanted to ask you. You know, what goes into putting this together, because it seemed like you had a lot of help.
Yeah, we did. We did. And one of the biggest helps was the city council president, Carmela Mantello. Can't believe she came out early, stayed the whole day, served well. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm a Democrat, and she's a Republican, but she cares about Troy. She took her Easter to come out and help, along with members all over the community came out and helped. Different churches, Terra Nova, Salvation Army, the Auburn Saran Korean Fellowship, some members of Bethel Baptist Church. Everybody collaborated together. Bella Napoli, Hannaford, Troy Fire Department, Night Owl News, Price Chopper. Businesses, churches collaborated and made this a huge effort. You know, the food cost was huge. The paper products were huge, but when everybody worked together, it just worked out. It wasn't much. And Pioneer Bank, we want to also give a shout-out to Anne-Marie Perichinsky of Pioneer Foundation. Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned something about the Korean church, and they was in...
Yes. The Albany Saran Fellowship, Korean Methodist Church. Okay. Elder Lee, Elder Ree and Mrs. Ree of Night Owl News. They don't even Night Owl News. That's their church. And they got their church involved a couple of years ago, and they've just been fantastic. They knocked it out the park this year with donations of food, cooking the food, bringing the food. So what a great partnership and fellowship.
So what else is coming down the pipe?
Our next big event is we got a couple of things coming up. We got a free trip to the Bronx Zoo. We're taking 50 kids down there August 8th, July 2nd, right before the 4th of July. We were taking 50 kids free trip down to Statue of Liberty. So we're working with the kids in North Central School too. Some kids that never get on the road. They never we're taking the slow route down, so they can see the cows and the pastures. And Yankee Trails is helping us out, sponsoring the bus. The Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin is helping us with the 4th of July trip. The Rensselaer County District Attorney, Ms. Mary Pat Donnelly, is sponsoring the trip to the Bronx Zoo. Along with our back-to-school rally, where we're giving away backpacks and school supplies, and we have a bouncy house and petting zoo. Some great rides. We have a zip line coming up to Prospect Park. That's August 23rd. So July 2nd. August 23rd and August 8th, huge days for Kingdom Ministries, giving back in the community, making sure the kids have a valuable summer, something to go back and talk to their classmates about. Well, where did you go this summer? They'll have something to say, some kids that don't get out. So we're looking to just continue to be a blessing wherever we can. We're just not trying to duplicate anything. We find a need, and we fill needs. So we're just fortunate to be able to do it. It's just a blessing from God that we're able to collaborate, and that people come out and see what we're doing, and they support us. They see what we're doing. What you saw the crowd today, the community grows more and more every time we do something, because they know we will go out of our way to bless them with whatever we can find. We had new items, a ton of new items here, and housewares and quilts and blankets. You name it, we had it today. And the community was able to come in, eat, enjoy themselves, get a great meal. They ate till their heart was content, and then got some things to go with. And the biggest thing is nobody had to be alone. So people that were otherwise might be depressed during the holidays because they're by themselves thinking about this one or that one. Some people told me they lost a family member, but they wanted to come out just to be around others. So that's why we do it. We don't want anybody in Troy to be alone or hungry or without some kind of hope on this day. So we're overflowing with the love of God, especially on these holidays. We overflow. God fills us up, and we want that to run over into the community.
Okay. Thank you, Billy. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Love you, Brother Willie.
Thank you, Christchurch, for your dedication to the community. And that concludes our show. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. I'm Alexis Goldsmith.
And I'm your host, H. Bosch Jr., our engineer extraordinaire. And I think her last night tonight is Imani, my right-arm Taylor. Okay. And remember to tune in back in tomorrow and every weekday at 7 a.m., 9 a.m., and 6 p.m. to get your daily dose of local news. You can also get that dose through our Hudson Mohawk Magazine podcast and Facebook page. Also, be sure to tune in 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights for Jazz Sanctuary, a wonderful celebration of all that is creative, dedicated to supporting jazz in the Hudson Mohawk region.
As a reminder, WOOC 105.3 and WOOS 98.9 is produced by local volunteers. If you're interested in volunteering with our radio effort, shoot us an email at info@mediasanctuary.org, or to stop by one of our weekly programming meetings on Monday nights at 7:07 p.m. held right here at the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy. And Bosch, did you have some announcements that you wanted to make?
No, I think we're done. Yeah, we're good with time.
Like 30 seconds.
Well, no.
Okay, well, I guess that's it, folks. Mm-hmm. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.
Okay.